This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this Thursday NFL schedule edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. And we talk all the time on this show about how the NFL is king, but no better evidence, I would say, than yesterday that just the order of the games that we already knew were going to be happening, Michael, dominated all of our timelines everywhere up against the NBA and NHL playoffs.
No question. But, you know, Stormy, you would never do this, but I think people are so excited to get the schedule out because you know that sometimes people mistakenly have weddings in September or October on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they want to make sure that they're not called to duty to go to those weddings and lose a game. So, you know, everybody wants to know where they're going to be, what they're going to do. I love it. I think it was great. And I haven't gone over every single team. I've gone over a few because I wrote a column this morning. Because I'm still in search of who's the worst team in the league, because I think Survivor is going to be impossible this year. And I think to me that every game looks like we got good games. I can't even imagine Will Hill could complain about this.
No, not at all. And funny you mentioned Survivor. I ran into Derek Stevens, owner and CEO here of Circa Resort and Casino, on my way in this morning. And a little birdie might have told me that we'll get some cool news regarding the contest sooner rather than later this summer, which I know everybody is really, really excited about. But this time is so cool, Michael, because immediately as we find out these games for each team, odds makers have lines out like that. And DraftKings already has them posted for all 272 games. But that said, they are not all created equal. And it's very interesting to see the layout of these games, who's going to be on primetime, who's not, what odds makers think about certain teams, and how sharp money is coming in on teams in certain moments and moving numbers right away. So like this time, for as you know, odd as it is to be talking about the NFL in May, it's an important time.
It really is. And you got to really do a good job. Again, I'm going to keep saying this to everybody. Get the guide. The guide will come out early. You'll have plenty of time. Put promo code Lombardi in the guide. Get the discount. Get 14 months for the price of 12. And get caught up on these teams because there's so much movement that has occurred. And there's so many different variations. Like, let's take opening weekend. Pittsburgh is going to go down to the Super Bowl city of Atlanta and play them. Arthur Smith returns home. Pittsburgh's a 2.5-point dog. Now, you know if you've done your homework, Pittsburgh's really improved their team. Has Atlanta improved their defensive team? We can't seem to find that. So that line seems a little fishy to me. Being a road dog here, it's under 3. I think that line will move slightly to almost a pick 'em as this offseason goes. But these are the kind of things you need to have the ammunition. You need to know your subject matter really well on these teams because you want to go into the preseason looking for specific things from how they're doing. How is Pittsburgh playing offensively with Arthur Smith, and what do they look like?
And, you know, Michael, I was going to ask you who of some of these teams that you saw the initial schedule release do you think had the toughest go of it? And I'm just going to come out and say for me and for I think most of the country looking at schedules yesterday, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have 6 of their final 8 games within the division. And that division in the North is, I think we all would agree, the most difficult in football on paper right now.
I think every team in the North has a tough schedule. I think Baltimore, how many playoff teams are they going to play? You know, they've got a tough schedule. The North is the best division in football. I don't think it's debatable right now. You have 4 quarterbacks that have all played at a very high level. Even Deshaun Watson, when we go back to his Houston time there, right? So we know he can play at a high level. We know that Lamar is the 2-time MVP of the league. Joe Burrow has taken his team to a Super Bowl and has played at a very high level. You know, and then Russell Wilson hasn't recently, but we know he has, and they can run the ball. So I do. I think the North, you don't want to play the North. It's going to be a hard, hard game. And I think one of the things you can put down in your little notes, I think once you play a North team, the next week, you're going to be beat up. It's going to be a problem for you. Now, maybe not so much Cincinnati, but you're going to be beat up. It's going to be a physical game whenever you play a North team.
No doubt about it. And just to go back to the Steelers here real quickly, I'll lay it out for our audience. Week 11 to week 18 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have the Ravens, followed by a short week Thursday night football at the Browns. They're at the Bengals. They have the Browns again. They finally get a break out of the division. Oh, but it's in Philadelphia. Back to at Baltimore on a Saturday. Short week Christmas Day game against the Chiefs, and then they close the season hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. All of those teams have win totals north of 9 from November 17th on. That's about as daunting as a back half of a schedule as you can get. And we talk about, Michael, how Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season over and over again. The season win total for the Pittsburgh Steelers is 8.5. Yesterday, prior to this schedule being released, they were minus 120 to the over. So the juice and the expectation was, okay, more likely than not, they'll get to 9+ wins and have another winning season. Now that number is plus 125 to the over because of the way the schedule shook out.
And it should be. I mean, look, you know, this is a daunting task to get 9 wins out of here to cash your ticket, right? And it's got to be a fast start. You've got to have a really fast start. If they don't find a way to win those road games, they've got to go to Atlanta. They've got to go to Denver to start the season. They can't have a misstep, right? Because they're going to have a misstep later in the year. And one thing we do know, they got to keep T.J. Watt healthy, because when he's healthy, they're a different team defensively. So yeah, it's a challenge, but look, I think the AFC, the parity in the AFC, there's a lot of good teams, and I think how the order comes out looks daunting today, but if you just take them one day at a time and hopefully you stay healthy. The key for Pittsburgh is, can they stay healthy?
Okay, so we talk about Pittsburgh, we talk about the North being a tough division and all of their schedules being difficult. Was there another team or division that stood out to you as, hey, these guys are going to have it easier than we might have expected initially? Anything like that for you?
No, I didn't really see an easy one. I focused, you know, I was looking at, like, when I looked at the teams, okay, let's take Green Bay, for example, right? Green Bay is a team that had a lot of momentum. They moved a little bit around on their team. They open up in Brazil. They come back and have to play the Colts, right? They got Tennessee. They have Minnesota, which is always a hard game. They have to go to Los Angeles, but they have the West, the NFC West. So they have a little bit of a break, and they get Jacksonville for the South. They have the NFC West, and they get the AFC South. Those are pretty good. And I don't think the schedule, when I look at it, I didn't think the schedule was really going to be problematic. I mean, they get Miami on Thanksgiving Day, which is exactly what you want. You want Tua in a cold weather game, assuming it's going to be cold in Wisconsin on that day. So I kind of thought the Packers had a pretty good schedule. You know, I thought it was really good. I don't think they got themselves where, you know, if you have to play, you know, what you want to do is play Miami late, which they got, right? And then you have the chance to play some of these Seattle. They get them late, so they'll know what's going on. I like Green Bay's schedule. I like them for the over here, too.
Okay, interesting. And while they opened the season on that Friday in Brazil against the Eagles, I was surprised to see, especially given how much love that Jordan Love has gotten for the way that he performed the back end of the season, that they're not on primetime again until that week 13 game against Miami, where they have 4 straight in primetime. They have the Thanksgiving game, then they're at Detroit on Thursday night football, at Seattle Sunday night football, and then versus New Orleans on Monday night. But a long time before we're going to see Green Bay on primetime, not long before we'll see the New York Jets on primetime. It starts with that Monday night.
Oh my gosh.
It starts with that Monday night game in San Francisco against the 49ers and facing the team with the guy who popped his Achilles in week 1, 4 plays in last year on that team now. So if you weren't just having like the fear of having to play on Monday night again, Aaron Rodgers and Jets fans, add that into the equation. But a pretty easy road, it seems, right out the gate, those first 5 games. But we're going to see the New York Jets on prime time 6 times in the first 11 weeks, 7 standalone games if you include that London game week 5 against the Vikings.
What struck me about the Jets' schedule, I know they got 6 primetime games. I know they open up against them. Look at the end of the year. Mm. Look at the end of the year. They play the Rams. That'll be a hard game. They got to go to Buffalo. That'll be a really hard game. And then they get Miami at home. And that probably will mean something, right? So Miami, I think, has gotten the advantage that Miami often gets is they get these cold weather teams to play down in South Florida in the early part of September. But this Jet end of the year schedule is a problem. It's a problem. And I think those are three hard, hard games when you look at Rams, Bills, and then you've got to go and then you got Miami.
Let's keep that in the division because Miami has a pretty intriguing schedule as well. We talk about a manageable schedule, at least early for the Jets, because I thought at first, we talked about it yesterday, when I saw the Monday night football game, short week going into week two, and then international travel week five, I was like, this is going to be rough for New York. But okay, you get the Titans on a short week. You get the Patriots on a short week. You get the, you know, so the, an easing in after all. Jets fans didn't get done super dirty off the top of the schedule. Miami also has a pretty manageable early schedule, I would say. Jags week one, Thursday night football, you do host the Bills and you don't have that weather advantage like we talked about with it being an evening game. Seattle, Titans, Patriots, and then the bye. So three of all of those games are at home before you hit the bye. Then afterwards, Colts, Cardinals, two teams with win totals, 8.5, 6.5 respectively. Going into the second game with Buffalo, you could be cooking, and you need to be because the end of the schedule for them as well is backloaded and looks challenging.
And two cold weather games. I mean, they have the Jets cold weather game week 14. Then they got to play the Brownies in Cleveland. And I can promise you, living in Cleveland, it isn't going to be a very good. Well, they play the Jets in the last game of the year on the road, and then they play the Brownies. Those two road games are cold weather games. That's not going to be when you need to win those games. That's not. And then they have the Niners, you know, that's not going to be easy. I think that's a challenge, you know, and they got to, and look, they have to stay healthy. And one thing we do know about Miami, they haven't beaten a good team yet. Now, I think when you look at it, the Jags opening up with them, both teams are used to the heat and humidity. That'll be a fun game to watch. New defense coordinator in Jacksonville, too.
Yes, sir. Win total for Miami sitting 9.5, juice to the over, -135. We are just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. When we come back, there are two teams who are underdogs in every single game this season. One that is favored in every game, who they are, and breaking it all down when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't checked out the new and improved VSiN.com yet, now is the time. Best bets each and every day from all of our show hosts and experts. We have betting splits to show you where the money is going on each and every game. Exclusive articles, odds, betting tools, and betting guides. New article up today live from our own Michael Lombardi discussing the schedule revealed yesterday and a few teams that are facing an uphill climb with the order of events upon them. Check it all out now at VSiN.com. Speaking of the website, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to have VSiN's own Mike Somich join the program. He is dialed in as one of our horse racing experts. We'll get the lowdown on all things Preakness coming up, NBA playoffs. Matt Eumanns as well, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight, will join us in hour two to discuss PGA Championship and the NFL schedule breakdown because he is one of our best NFL bettors here at the network. We know, get his thoughts and opinions on maybe how his view of a certain team has change. But with your article today, Michael, looking at teams facing an uphill battle, it feels appropriate to look at the two teams that we saw when things were revealed and odds were put on each and every one of these games. The New England Patriots and Carolina Panthers are the only two NFL teams to be underdogs in all 17 games this season at DraftKings.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, right? I mean, when you sit down and break this down, like to be favored in every single game and to be an underdog in every single game, and there's only two teams that fall into that. What I found really interesting, Stormy, was in the game in, you know, we gave Munich the Giants and the Panthers. Mm-hmm. The Panthers are only a half a point favored against, I mean, excuse me, the Giants are only a half a, it's a pick'em game essentially, right?
Sure.
And so, like, how many games are the Giants going to be favored in? That's my question. If they're barely a favorite against the against now they're favored against Minnesota because they play at home, but this is a neutral field. So, and look, I think the Niners are coming off of last year, and certainly you would believe they would be the favorite in a lot of games. I find it hard to believe to be favored in 17 games as much as I'm thinking that they could do that. But the Giants, you know, they're closer. What the book's telling us is they're closer power rated to the Panthers than they are to some other teams.
Which I find interesting, too, that we're still putting the Giants on primetime, because have we not learned our lesson by now? That's not what we want. But yeah, I'm with you, Michael. We talked about it yesterday as well when we were having the conversation of who could be the team getting the number one overall pick next year. And we agreed that the Giants could be in line to take another potential step back. We have no idea what's going on with their quarterback situation. They do not have their bell cow running back in Saquon Barkley anymore. There's a lot of change ahead for the New York Giants. And there are moments in the schedule that aren't going to do them a ton of favors either.
No, I think that, well, look, every game's going to be hard. They're going to have to come down to the fourth quarter. They're going to have a hot field goal kicker. You know, it's going to be one of those. And look, let's be clear here. Washington's going to be a little bit better, right? They open up at home against Minnesota. That the home games to start the season against an unfamiliar offense with Sam Darnold, you know, you got to look at that. Washington's going to be better. They have to go to Cleveland. They get Dallas on a short week. And then they got to go out to Seattle and the Bengals, the Eagles. I mean, that look at that road ahead. Yeah. Bengals, Eagles, you know, is a tough road ahead up there. And so if you don't start fast, I think I wrote about it today, where if they're 3-7, can they win five of those first 10 games, Stormy? I don't think so. I think it's more like, can they win three?
And that's why they're winning.
If they're 3-7 at the...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Michael, I was just saying that.
I'm saying, like, if they
win... Their win total is 6.5, and it's juiced to the under for a reason. That was all I was going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you're perfectly correct with that. Like, and add more fuel on that is that they're only a half a point favorite against one of the worst teams, what we believe to be the worst team in football. So, look, the other team that I thought, and I'd love to hear your commentary on this, is the Raiders. Look, the reason we're picking on the Raiders, we're picking on the Giants, we're picking on Carolina, and we're picking on New England is because New England tried to answer their quarterback with Drake May. We'll see if that works out. Carolina tried to answer their quarterback with Bryce Young. We believe it'll be better. But the Giants and the Raiders really wanted to have a quarterback come out of the draft, but they didn't get that. And then when you look at the Raiders' schedule, have you had a chance to take a look at that? I saw somebody online say they had a really easy schedule. Like, show me where the wins are for the Raiders on that schedule. They have the Harbaugh start of the season, Jim in Los Angeles, John in Baltimore. Like, look at this. Okay, the Panthers. Then you got the Brownies coming in. Broncos will be a hard game. Steelers. Then you got to go back to Los Angeles. Here's where it goes. Rams, Chiefs, Bengals before the bye. How many wins do you think they have there, Stormy?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is my first time really like diving into the Raiders specifically. They weren't a team that I was targeting, but now looking at it in front of me, it looks like an uphill battle. And that first game, though, at the Chargers, I wonder your thoughts on that one, because they're getting 3 points. And I mean, a Chargers team that, yes, has Jim Harbaugh as their new head coach and a lot of motivation. They're going to be physical. They're going to have a new mindset, but still working out a lot of kinks without a lot of their talent. If Gardner Minshew is the starter week one, I don't know if I necessarily hate getting 3 points in that spot. I don't know yet. This is the Raiders are going to be a conundrum for me. I'm not sure how I feel about them yet.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing we know is the Chargers will be ready to play opening day. They'll be physically ready to play because they're going to have a tough training camp. And I think that's a great point you just made, you know, because I think you have to really spend time studying what these teams are doing in training camp and how hard are the practices going to be to get ready for the opener. I think that's something that you have to really take a hard look at. Baltimore will be ready for Kansas City. Kansas City will be ready for Baltimore. Pittsburgh will be ready for Atlanta. Will Raheem Morris take the Sean McVay approach, which is less contact and trying to not do as much? We'll see.
Well, real quickly, let's go back to the AFC West and the Chargers, who, like I said, week one, they host Vegas. Week two, Chargers at Panthers. That opened 3, already been bet up to 5, just to give you more evidentiary support to how the world and bettors are viewing the Carolina Panthers right now, who, by the way, are the only team without any primetime games. It looks like the league wants the Chargers to open 2-0. If you look at their schedule as a whole, we talked about strength of schedule a lot yesterday. 5th easiest strength of schedule according to last season's opponent win percentage. 2nd easiest based on opponent win totals this year, which is a much better predictor if you're looking at those types of things. Catch a break the last month of the season as we throw that graphic up on your screen here. Bucks, Broncos, Patriots, Raiders, and it'll be fun. We'll get that Harbaugh week 12 on Monday Night Football with the two brothers facing off for the first time since Jim was coaching the 49ers and John was coaching the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
But let's just say, and let's say with some degree of certainty, that Justin Herbert plays better for Jim than he played for Brendan Staley. This is a legit. See, I think this whole strength of schedule stuff is nonsense. I think it's what quarterback am I playing? Am I playing a really good quarterback or am I not playing one? And the strength of schedule is based on last year's teams, not based on what the team is currently. And so I think to me, if Justin Herbert is rising above his play level or what we think he is based on last year, they become more physical, run the ball. I think you got to like their team. Now, when that all comes into play, when it all gets kind of going, maybe take a little bit more than just the first week, but I think they'll be ready to play.
Win total for the Los Angeles Chargers, 8.5, juice -155 to the over. So some high expectations. They're also the second shortest shot in the AFC West, behind only the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, who will play every day but Tuesday this season, Michael. It's the first team since the 1927 New York Yankees, the football version, to play games on 6 days of the week in a single season. They have a stretch of four teams in 4 weeks that all have a win total of 9.5 or more. They have Christmas Day against the Steelers on the road in a short week. This is not an easy road for the Kansas City Chiefs to try to become the first team to three-peat as Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and I mean, we still have questions. I know there's Super Bowl champs, but it's a new year, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the starting left tackle? Who is going to be the receiver that they can really count on? You know, Kadarius Toney, you can't count on him. Rashid Rice, can you count on him? I don't think so, right? Worthy's a young 165-pound rookie. Can he last the whole season? That remains to be seen. So there's a lot of question marks. Yes, I know they signed Hollywood Brown. Offensive line, receiver, question marks. Kelsey's 36. Defensively, who replaces Snead? Can they still be the same team they were defensively? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, this isn't a slam dunk. Look, they're good. They got the best player in the league. So that gives you a chance to win every game. But they're not like on paper the best, like, oh, wow, they're really have improved their team. I think this is a team that you have to look at seriously and say, wait a minute. You know, let's see how they kind of get into their offense and how they run their offense.
Yet the win total, 11.5, -110 each way. They are +550, the shortest shot, the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. Also, as we were looking at that schedule, at 11-day stretch in December, where they are facing three games at the Browns, against the Texans and the Steelers, again, in 11 days. And we talked about them being the favorite for the Super Bowl. The 49ers are actually the second shortest shot, yet they are the team that is favored in every single game across the schedule. They're actually a 2-point favorite against the Chiefs in San Francisco. The Chiefs also an underdog at Buffalo in this season slate as well. We have so much more to dive into throughout the course of the show regarding the schedule.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. We here at the Lombardi Line are here for you and want to help you out. So for a limited time only, remember, we are offering our annual subscription at a great price, normally $240. You can grab a subscription now for just $199. Sign up today, and we're also giving you an extra 2 months for free. So that's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. But you have to use our promo code Lombardi. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems from professional handicappers, as well as our exclusive betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each and every game. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today and claim again your 14 months of VSiN Pro for $199. Use the promo code Lombardi at vsin.com/subscribe. Stormy Bonantoni and Michael Lombardi with you. Leave it to the NFL, by the way, to be the talk of the town, even during the NBA and NHL postseason, because each time one of these games gets released, we're having tweets all over the place. It's a full event tomorrow night to have the schedule release, Michael. And we're very fortunate right now to break that down and a lot of what's going on this time of year in the NFL with the one and only Chuck Pagano, who joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, former Indianapolis Colts head coach, longtime defensive coordinator, defensive mastermind, who's become a great friend of the show. Coach, thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always great to be on with you guys. Thank you.
Coach, when you were in the league head coach and you first looked at the schedule, what was the first thing that you looked for when examining the schedule?
Yeah, great question. I mean, that first year in Indy, you know, that place was blown up, right, in 2011. And the only reason you get a job like that is because of, you know, they didn't have Manning and whatever. So you look for primetime games. We didn't have any. They were all 1 o'clock games, which is not bad. But you want, you know, you'd love to have primetime games on there. You're looking for the bye. You know, when's the bye going to be? You always wanted that, you know, somewhere around the middle of the season. Guys are banged up. You got some guys injured. You know, give the players and staff a chance to catch their breath. Like, you're an East Coast or West Coast team. You know, do we have, like, back-to-back, you know, 2-3 time zone trips and the logistics behind that? Michael, you remember when we were, you know, at the Raiders and it was 2 time zones, right? And Mr. Davis said, hey, we're going 2 days. Yep. So, and we always came back. So I know guys now are looking at those, you know, cross-country trips. And if they have back-to-backers, they're staying on the East Coast for an extra week. So they don't have that travel time in there. Obviously, overseas games, if you have that, and now you guys are talking about leaving it to the NFL, you know, we're still in Christmas now from the NBA, right, or whatever. And, you know, they're going to play a short week, you know, a Saturday and then a Wednesday game. Christmas falls on a Wednesday, and they're going to have a slate of games there. So those are the things we look for.
And a Friday overseas game the first week of the season. Like, it really is remarkable how much the NFL has taken over. Does it surprise you at all the way that this sport has, it's already been king in America, but the way it's just grown and grown and grown, and now there's international fan bases?
No, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, what's that saying about pigs and hogs or whatever? But as long as people keep showing up, you know, it's just incredible. I, you know, went overseas a couple times, played in London, you know, a couple times, and it's just crazy. And you mentioned the Friday game, Stormy. I think that's what in Brazil. Mm-hmm. They're going to, you know, Brazil to play that game. And as long as we keep putting the product that we keep putting on the field, it just seems like this is a never-ending cash cow for the NFL, and these fans are just absolutely crazy.
Coach, now that the draft's over, the offseason's over, is there a team that you really has caught your eye from last year, what they did, and then the additions they made, not necessarily always just the draft, but free agency and the draft?
Yeah, the last place I worked was, Chicago in 2019 and 2020. And Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, I mean, didn't get off to a great start. But now you look at, you know, the way that they finished last season, the way that they finished defensively, right? They were, you know, top 2-3 in the league defensively with Eberflus calling that defense. But, you know, you look at, you know, free agency, they went and got Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift. I think everybody knew. They knew that they were going to, you know, select a quarterback. They were going to select Caleb Williams. So you always want to put, you know, surround a rookie quarterback with, you know, play great defense, be able to run the ball. So they got Herbert's, you know, still there, and now Swift. The defense is stout. They really didn't lose anybody. They re-signed Jalen Johnson, their top corner. You know, I had him when I was there. We drafted him out of Utah. He got a big contract, and you know, so I really like, you know, what they did, and Caleb, and then Rome Odunze, you know, adding another weapon. So Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, you know, 2 years ago, and now Rome to go along with Caleb, Gerald Everett, and Cole Kmet. So I really like what Chicago's done.
Yeah, the expectations starting to shift a little bit down there in Chicago. Win totals at 8.5. They're -125 favored odds to make the playoffs this coming year. And you talk about Caleb Williams there, coach. We're hearing a lot of sound coming out of these rookie mini camps of coaches talking about the load that's being put on these rookie quarterbacks immediately, how they're handling things. What do you remember about that time going through it with a rookie quarterback? And you have any good Andrew Luck stories for us?
Yeah, I got a bunch of them. But, you know, Storm, it was funny because, yeah, there's a lot being thrown at him, obviously. And, you know, going through with Andrew. See, Andrew being a Stanford, you know, grad, you know, they were on quarters out there. So we got him back in town for the rookie minicamp, and then he left. And he missed the lion's share of the offseason. We gave him a playbook, obviously, to go home with, and big brain Andrew, probably he had that thing memorized in probably a couple, 2-3 days, but he missed the most of the rookie minicamp. So the six quarterbacks that were taken in this year's draft, they're going through a lot. They're throwing a lot at those guys, but we didn't have Andrew. And, you know, the first time he came back, I don't know what OTA we were on, but it was late. We had the group together for a long period of time. So he comes back. He's obviously running with the ones. We go to the first team drill with him. BA gives him a play. We're going 11-on-11 offense versus defense. And he gets the line of scrimmage, and he doesn't like what he sees. So he starts killing the play. He resets the protection, change of format. And everybody just kind of stops and looks at him and says, what the hell's Andrew? What's he talking about? And BA, you know, with some colorful language, you know, get the F back in the huddle, you know, blah, 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 Reggie, Duane, all the guys that we had, nobody had a clue what he was doing. Of course, he was right. He did the right thing. That's how smart, how far ahead he was. He hadn't even been there. So, yeah, it was interesting and so great. I mean, just, you know, the guy was just brilliant, you know, and he could handle and we throw, you know, so much at these young quarterbacks, it's really not fair, but he certainly could handle it.
Coach, what are these young quarterbacks, and we only have about a minute, which one of these young quarterbacks really caught your eye during the draft process?
You know, they all look pretty good, but that damn Jaden Daniels, I'd hate to be a defensive coach right now, Michael. You know, getting ready to, you know, Kingsbury goes over there. He's worked with these athletic, you know, run pass option guys, and His athleticism, everybody talks about he's not going to be, you know, big enough or strong enough or whatever. But God, from what I saw and the way he throws a ball, accuracy, deep balls, and then his ability to extend plays, he runs for 50, 60, 70 yards. When he breaks the line of scrimmage and he gets in the open field, it's going to be hell to try to get that kid on the ground. But I really liked what he did there at LSU.
Coach Pagano, thank you so much for the time. As always, you're awesome. Have a great day.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks Coach. Appreciate you.
See you, Lombo.
The one and only Chuck Pagano. Awesome to have him joining us there on the Progressive Guest Line. Go ahead.
He makes a great point about that. What people don't realize, UCLA's, any team that's on the quarter system, because of the way it is, it's hard to get those guys. Oregon's the same way. Some of those West Coast, I don't know if they've changed that. But that really sets back a quarterback. Now, even if they were graduated, they had to honor their school, you know, so that became really problematic for you. And it's harder, you know, than normal because they're going to take the playbooks, but they can't see everything that you're doing.
Also, was that not exactly what you would expect to hear about Andrew Luck?
No question. No doubt. No doubt.
Just you knew that something like that was going to come out.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA postseason is heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers who bet $5 get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Well, my favorite time of the week. So we have storm warnings. I thought we have a little music here. Yeah. We got to get that Billy Joel thing going. But this is where we reverse roles on our show. I get to ask Stormy questions, and she's going to warn us on what she's thinking about as she's come back from her Alaska trip, and she's had a lot of time to ponder. So there's an old saying, when you snooze, you lose, Stormy. And you think Jerry Jones has been snoozing. Tell us why.
Yes, this warning goes out to Jerry Jones and the Cowboys organization. The Jared Goff deal getting done earlier this week kind of reminded me that with every new deal that gets done, the price tag is going up for the stars at the Star in Frisco. And it's not just Dak, who, yes, is in line for a major payday and the ability potentially to test the free agent market after the season if this negotiation stalemate continues. But think about Justin Jefferson, who's going to get his bag soon, Michael. Don't you want to beat the Bengals to that punch when it comes to the CeeDee Lamb deal? Think about Micah Parsons, who's eligible for a contract. If you play this out for another year or two and he continues to play at a high level and is racking up the sack numbers he is, that's going to be a $40 million a year contract for an edge rusher. And maybe Jerry did mean it when he said, we're going all in, because he's going to have to go all in his pockets if this continues. What are we doing?
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you. I think there's no question that, you know, every time he waits, when you hesitate, you lose out. And I think he clearly has done that. But I think, to me, Stormy, he's kind of like holding back. I think he kind of, you know, I think, is he trying to see the market? I don't know, but you're right. Or is he trying to divorce from Dak? Maybe he's just going to let this thing go. I mean, he doesn't have enough money. He's going to end up like the Rams, where there's three players and then everybody else is a backup. But I agree. Okay.
Well, before we move on, Michael,
and another warning.
Before we move on, I'll just say also to that point, because you have Mike McCarthy and so much of the coaching staff that are also on the last year of their deal, if this season doesn't go the way that he wants it to, maybe the D in Big D stands for garbage disposal, and they're just going to get rid of this whole thing and scrap it and move on. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it could be for the garbage disposal, the Big D. And then we got a documentary, too, coming out. That will be interesting. All right. So you're going to warn fans about betting the NFL season early. Please tell us.
Obviously, with the schedule release, we all geek out and get so excited about having odds out on each and every one of these 272 games. But I think that it's good to remind people, too, that because the NFL is king, because there are only 32 teams and there is so much information out there on a daily basis, sportsbooks are dialed into what they're doing here. And there's not as much advantage getting ahead of a lot of these lines, especially if you're not a sharp bettor that jumped on them immediately yesterday. Already, a lot of those lines have shifted to what they're going to be moving forward. And in the NFL, I don't know about you, but I would like to know the injury report going into a game that I'm betting on a single game basis. There is always a major injury or two or three or four or five that come out of these teams that change the way that we view a lot of a team's future, at least in the short term, in the early part of the season. So I would just say, be cautious. It's also hard to tie up your money for that long for a single game bet. But if you are somebody that has the bankroll and capability of doing that, a sport where there is an edge in betting single game early is in college football. And if you're somebody, I mean, there's 100 more teams in college football. If you're somebody who's dialed into your local area, you know a team well, you're following the spring game injury reports, who's in and out of the transfer portal, who's going to be healthy ahead of the season, you're reading Phil Steele, there could be a lot more opportunities and there's a lot more change from the numbers that are out immediately from odds makers for those early season look ahead games than there are in the NFL. So if you're doing it, college football is probably the better way to approach it.
I love it. Great advice. And I think your ad that would you added in there too about study teams in college football. Don't study every team. I think that's awesome. Okay. We saw last night, and congratulations to you, by the way, for taking the Jason Tatum to make three three-pointers. You cashed that ticket in there.
We got there.
You went contrarian, and you were with the book. You got it. Now the Celtics, dominant price, right? Everybody thinks that they're in the third consecutive Eastern Conference final. And there's a heavy price for them to win the title. What's the warning here?
Yes, I had a feeling that after going 2 of 8, 2 of 8 from three in back-to-back games, that maybe we could finally break that 0 for 9 on the over 3-point slump. And my boy Jason Tatum got us there. That said, I'm not sold on my boy Jason Tatum getting the Celtics to an NBA title right now. At least not at a -135 price going through round two. I know that their Eastern Conference path has been a breeze. They have literally played two teams missing some of their best players. No Jimmy Butler, no Donovan Mitchell and Jarrett Allen. Mind you, they still didn't sweep those teams, still lost games to each of them. And while they could get Porzingis back come the NBA Finals, we don't know if that's true or if he does come back, how impaired he will be. They're an odds-on favorite to win the title in the second round. Do they look like the KD-led Warriors to you? Are they looking like how dominant UConn was in the NCAA tournament this past year, where we want them to be an odds-on favorite and then you're willing to pay any price no matter what on the Celtics because you're that confident that they're going to win? I don't think that they have that killer instinct. And I look at the Denver Nuggets, who seemingly had their wake-up call after two games in this round two series, who are still a plus money price. I ended up firing on them. They're plus 255 right now. And I would say get that while you can before it's gone, because it's only going to get shorter. Neither the Mavs nor the Thunder have anybody who can slow down Nikola Jokic. In the two games that the Nuggets played against the Celtics in the regular season, they won both of those games. And I don't think I'm out of line to say, if you're looking at the odds board from that perspective, the Nuggets have the best player in the world, which means they're going to have the best player on the court. They have the better coach in that series. And it's the Nuggets who have the track record of playoff and NBA finals success coming off of the NBA title they won last year, whereas the Celtics do not. So again, I would just say, I think being an odds-on favorite right now to win the NBA title for the Celtics is not a guarantee, and that a good plus money price on Denver is looking attractive.
I think last night watching that game, I'm thinking they're struggling to beat Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell. They're struggling to beat Cleveland without Jared Allen. I mean, they're struggling without to beat this team, and LeVert was out. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think battle tested is important. I really do. I think battle tested is important. Speaking of battle tested, Caitlin Clark, you have a warning for her because she's going to end up being battle tested.
Yes, I have a lot of feelings coming out of Caitlin Clark's debut, certainly. But the warning here is, as a bettor, be aware of the target this young woman has on her back. Diana Taurasi made it clear during the NCAA tournament with her reality is coming comments, right? The women in this league have never had the level of attention that Clark is getting. And that's not to say it's because of a lack of talent. The star power is just different. And with that, the attention is different. The endorsement money she's seeing is unfathomable for most of the league. I was looking through, the average cash compensation in the league this year is a WNBA historic high. It's $130,000. This girl, before she ever stepped on the court, had millions of dollars in endorsements from Gatorade, from Nike, from State Farm. It's different. And for a number of teams, the only national spotlight game they might end up getting is when they're playing the Fever and when they're playing Caitlin Clark. And the Fever are not a good team. It's not like she has a ton of help. This is a team that won 5 games 2 years ago, 11 last year. They didn't have the number one pick back-to-back seasons because they're really good. The Sun, who they played in week one, are the best defensive team in the league. Of course she struggled. The first 7 games that they have this season, the Sun, the Liberty, who won 32 games a year ago and are coming off a finals appearance, and the Aces, who just are back-to-back WNBA champions. She's got a target on their back. She's playing tough games here early. It's going to be a hard go because, like any rookie making a transition from college to the pros, it's usually more challenging than it is easy. There will be an adjustment period. That's not to say she's a bust, though. So get off my timeline with that. I like, she's played 1 game. Let's relax. Let's see a little bit more and go from there.
I agree. And look, she'll raise her level of play because she's such a competitor. Okay, here's the last warning.
Yes.
You think the NFL is making too much, charging too much money to watch their games?
forgive me if I'm speaking at a rapid pace here. It's going to cost $106 a month for all of the subscriptions you need to watch the NFL this year. Amazon,
but Peacock. You get more than just NFL games. You got, well, you get Peacock, you get Netflix, you get other shows now, to be fair here.
Sure. But if you just get the subscriptions for that 6 month period, it's $850. So yeah, you get more than just the NFL, but $850 for the average person for 6 months. God forbid you want to watch Hard Knocks and throw HBO Max into the mix. Watching football used to be a lazy Sunday activity. Now it's one that breaks the bank, and you can say, who's to blame? Is it Roger Goodell? Is it greedy owners? Is it the players who want more money in their pockets? Sure. But every time you point a finger at somebody, what's the saying? You got three back pointing at you. It's our fault. We're willing to pay. You can raise the price to whatever we want. We have no one to blame but ourselves that networks are paying off and owners are getting more money because we are the ones that want the product and we're willing to pay whatever it is. So on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. That was a fun storm warning. Appreciate you, Michael. We'll be back for hour two in a moment. Resetting with the NFL schedule release breakdown.